Welcome to the Upward Running Podcast, where faith fuels your fitness journey.
Welcome back to the Upward Running Podcast. This is your one stop each week to be motivated and inspired to get off the couch and onto the running trail where you can, in turn, inspire others to do the same. Let's learn, laugh, and leap into running together, giving God the glory for what we are able to do in His name. Amen. I am your running host, Dean Thompson, coming to you once again from the Upward Sports Studio. Well, just wait until you hear this week's story. I hope you have some tissues handy. I know I needed them when I read it. What if you were given a terminal diagnosis? What would you do? Well, we're going to talk about what Annette did when she faced those circumstances, and it is inspirational. And then, well, have you ever heard anybody say, just be yourself? Well, I'm going to tell you why that is terrible advice. And joining me for those stories and much more is Upward Running Director Mitchell Hollis.
Thanks for having me, Dean. How's your week been?
It's been wet.
Yeah.
Every day is running in the cold. You know, I always say that I don't mind running in the cold, and I don't mind running in the rain, but I don't like running in the cold rain.
Yeah.
And that's what it's been this week.
I went out and rucked yesterday, and when it's real wet like this, I don't do my normal trail because it's just standing in water. So I went out on the road. Well, I had shorts on, but I had a rain jacket because it was driving rain. So I had a rain jacket on, and then I had my rucksack on over that, and I had my hood up, and I was listening to a podcast.
Probably looked like a hunchback.
I bet I had 4 or 5 people. It's like they slowed down, and one guy even turned into a driveway in front of me. It's like, remember how I struggled with God on Mr. Manus? The first time I picked Mr. Manus up, it was driving rain. I was like, I know he needs picked up, but it's raining and he's wet and all those. I think 4 or 5 people were struggling with that yesterday. They thought I was some homeless guy.
Yeah.
Walking down Lake Francis Road with my backpack in the driving rain.
That's funny.
Nobody ever stopped, though.
So wow.
I was just thinking, 4 or 5, at least 4. I was like, oh, they're about to roll the window down.
Yeah.
Nobody ever did. Maybe they saw who I was and realized.
That could be. That could be. Yeah. They recognized you.
Yeah.
As
but
being
I was
going to
give them a big thank you if they did. Because, sure. I mean, I was soaking wet.
Yeah. So. That's pretty impressive.
So I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the cold rain yesterday. Yeah.
Well, you know, I bought Debbie her birthday was earlier this month. Last month, when you're listening to this. And I bought her a weather station.
I remember you told me that.
And so this weather station measures the amount of rain that we get. Yeah. And so it's been fun to kind of watch exactly how much rain we get each day.
Yeah,
we got
2.5
inches one day.
I was going to say we've had about 5 since it started raining.
Overall. But that one day we had over 2.5 inches, according to my
Is it one of those where the bucket dumps each day?
Yeah.
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 I want one of those.
Yeah.
Why didn't you just buy 2 of those, Dean?
I don't know
how much I like weather.
Golly, I don't know what I was thinking. Well, our post of the week this week, we have 2 kind of longish posts this week, but both are so good, so I thought we would share these. This one comes from Michelle Mitchiff. She says, well, I'm looking forward to week 4 and returning to thank him for week 3. This week was busy, and I had a goal to stay consistent and to pray before and as I go for some to share with. Day 1, it rained on me and nobody was around. But he was, and I was listening. He asked me to return to a spot on the trail to take care of something. Sometimes I think that's the point. Listen and obey. Be simple. Day 2, I met Rachel and her daughter, and God gave us a beautiful double rainbow. I didn't find her. She found me. I actually did not have my Upward Running gear on, but she stopped and said I was shining and shouted, "We are doing God's work." It was a precious meeting to fellowship with her. On day 3, at the end of my run, in an area I never run in, there were 2 7-year-old boys who asked me to pet my dogs. When I was leaving, they said, "God bless you, ma'am." I told them how that made my day and asked where they learned that. I've been praying for them since, as I never believe anything is random. They said they go to church and love God. It refreshed me so much. Praise you, Lord, for all our runs this week and all your shining.
Wow.
I read this and I thought, this is what the Christian life is supposed to look like, right? Sure. We go out and we go on these runs. And, you know, we talk about how every run should have a purpose. Mm-hmm. And it should. We should, you know, what are we trying to accomplish in that run? But in addition to that, what are we looking for on that run as well? Especially on nice, easy days. Yeah. You know, what are we looking for on those days? And she went out looking for God's light and she found it every day.
Yeah, and I mean, I just said I went out for a ruck yesterday and I put a podcast in, but sometimes it's best just to leave the earbuds at home and be looking. That's the key, because you can go out and you can just be numbering, you know, and not think of any. I've done that before. You go out for 3 or 4 or 5 miles and you come back and you're like, what did I even think about? And you got to be looking so many times, and it sounds like that's what she does.
And I'm bad about not looking. I just had a lady last night who was telling me that she saw me at the grocery store and she kept yelling at me and I never turned around.
Numbering.
Yeah. It's just, man, oh man. Yeah. Bad. Our run of the week comes from Claire Boyce. Of course, Claire is our upward running. I don't know. What is she? Marketing? Mm-hmm. She's very involved. Anyway, she says this. Running. I love this sport. I love the people who lace up beside me. I love the community that cheers for strangers. I love the discipline it demands. I love the lessons it teaches. I love the moments that test me. I love the feeling when everything hurts and every step forward is a fight. I love the grind. I love doing hard things. I love crossing the finish line, not because it's easy, but because it's earned. Running reminds me that growth happens in the grit, that joy and pain can exist in the same mile, and that every step forward changes you a little bit. Today was the Sphinx Run Fest Half Marathon. I set a goal of 150, which is a number that scared me and felt like a stretch. I'm excited to say that the mission was accomplished. I came in at 147.56. Days like this remind me why I run, not just for the clock or the course, but for the people, the lessons, and the quiet strength that shows up when you least expect it. Today's finish line is really just another starting line. To be continued.
I like that last sentence.
I do,
too. Today's finish line is just another starting line.
Yeah, really good. Well, last week we had Travis hit a big goal.
Yeah.
And we talked about it. And this week Claire hit a big goal. And so it's really fun to see all these people around us doing so well that are connected with Upward Running. And I think Claire followed one of our Upward Running plans that got her this big PR. And so that's a plug,
yeah,
right? That's pretty good.
Sure.
Yeah, and I think that there's a reason why we like to run. We like to walk, whatever it is that you do. There are reasons for it. But she kind of points out that, what she says, I love crossing the finish line. And she finishes with, because it's earned. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we really like about doing the hard things. Yeah. Is when you do hard things and you get to that and you hit that goal, it's because it's earned that it feels so good.
Sure.
Yeah. And the tough road is almost always worth it. Our trivia question from last week, and we've talked about this before. I don't know how many times we've discussed it in detail, though. How many races are considered officially World Marathon Majors? And then for an extra $5 off in the store, could you name all the races involved? And so there are 7 World Marathon races now, up from 6, I think, a year ago. They added Sydney. So here they are. Tokyo is in March, Boston is in April, London is a week later in April, Sydney is in August, Berlin is in September, Chicago is in October, and New York is in November. I never thought about the idea of ranking these marathons. If I ranked them from my favorite to my least favorite, Boston would be on top, but if I ranked them from fastest to slowest, I think you've got to put Berlin number one. That's probably the fact. They've had a number of world records set in Berlin over the years. Of course, both the world records right now are held on the Chicago course. Mm-hmm. So I had Chicago second. And then Tokyo is actually the flattest of all of these courses. I didn't realize that. Then London, which has a little bit of undulation to it, but not a ton. And then, of course, Boston has a good number of hills, and it's got Heartbreak Hill in it, but it's, you know, the first 4 miles of it are downhill. And then Sydney. I didn't realize Sydney was as hilly as it is, but it is the most hilly of all the marathon majors.
Really?
Yes. I had no idea. So I thought that was fascinating. It's probably not the toughest, though, because it's fairly hilly consistently throughout the race. And I don't think there are any challenging hills in it, but there are a lot of smaller hills. Now, New York, obviously, is not quite the hilliest. It's the second hilliest, but it is the Sydney Marathon, by the way, also finishes down downhill from the start. So it's a net downhill race like Boston is. New York's not net downhill, and it is there are hills. The bridges are the biggest hills in New York, but it's there's a lot of hills and turns and things in New York. You finish in Central Park, which is pretty hilly. So
is Sydney like Boston in that it doesn't qualify for any kind of records?
That's a good question. I'm not sure about that.
Because that's always kind of made me scratch my head with Boston. I didn't know that Sydney was a net downhill as well. You would think they would only have world majors on courses that did qualify for records. Because, I mean, that's you want all the biggest runners to be there, and many times the biggest runners, they're trying to get some kind of record or do something like that. And to not be eligible for anything like that, I don't know, it just seems kind of strange.
Well, I don't know that New York is eligible for world records either.
Well, I thought Boston was the only one. So
yeah.
When you said Sydney, that kind of surprised me.
Well, you know, New York starts in Staten Island and finishes on Manhattan. And so I don't know. There's a percentage rule
right.
on how far away the start and finish can be. I don't know if it would seem like, though, that's a fair number of miles away, I would think.
So is it the start-finish difference, or is it the net downhill difference, or
both? It's
both. Okay.
It's both. Yeah, there's a drop and separation rule. And so that's what they call it.
Because the separation rule means that you could take advantage of wind.
Right.
And the net downhill obviously is it's downhill overall. Even though Boston, I've never run it, but you've always said it's a net downhill, but it is not a downhill course.
No, it is not a downhill course. Yeah, the it's the location of the hills at Boston that are tough. They come at the absolute worst time in the race. They're not terrible hills, but they come at the worst time possible.
Yeah.
And the thing about Boston that's interesting, and I guess Sydney's the same way, because Sydney, the first two and a half miles, I think, of it are downhill. Hmm. And that starting off downhill is really tough on your legs. It is. You'd think that's a benefit,
no,
but that's a detriment rather than a benefit.
You trash your legs.
Yeah. They would probably run Boston faster if the first 4 miles were flat rather than downhill because it really hurts your legs.
Mm.
So anyway, this is it's an interesting thought. These are the seven. They were talking about adding another, and it was going to be the South Africa Marathon, the Cape Town Marathon. But I don't know what they're going to do now. They just canceled that one this year. That was one we talked about last week.
That's the one we talked about last week, yeah.
Yeah, and so it makes me wonder if they don't have contingency plans for wind.
Yeah, it still blows my mind that they canceled a race that big.
Yeah.
For that.
Crazy. So anyway, I don't know. I've run Boston, which I think is the greatest marathon in the world. But I don't know that I'll ever run Chicago or New York. There's reasons why that I won't.
If you could go run any of the others today, which one would you go run? What's your second choice?
New York. Yeah, definitely New York. And I've heard a lot about New York and the crowds in New York, and there's a lot of people.
Two did you just say that you probably wouldn't run?
Chicago or New York. That's what I'm saying. I'm not going to run it, but.
Oh, what? Well, the ones that you would go run, what would be your second choice here?
I won't run any of these.
Okay.
Again, I have some reasons why I don't want to share, but it's And I'm not a big go outside. I think there's plenty inside our own country to explore.
Right.
I don't have to go outside the country. So that's my thoughts.
And that's unfortunate. Yeah.
It is.
Upward Sports equips churches to run self-sustaining sports ministries in their communities. Whether you're a sports fanatic or on staff at a church, Upward Sports will give you all the tools you need to run a first-class sports ministry that allows you to reach families in your community. Upward Sports offers basketball, soccer, flag football, cheerleading, volleyball, baseball, and softball through league and camp offerings. At Upward Sports, we want to help your church make a difference and give you increased opportunities to share the gospel. Learn more today at upward.org. That's upward.org.
All right, we're back. Hey, listen, we're still looking for stories. We do have a couple right now that we're, but we again, you're out there, you just got started on the Couch to Marathon journey, maybe, or you're just on the last leg of the Couch to Marathon journey. How are you feeling? What's going on? What has transformed in your life? Mm-hmm. Share with us your story, because we want to hear it.
And we want to hear your story if you don't think you have a story. Yeah. So if you've just come in, we got a lot of people coming in for the Couch to Marathon start in January. Maybe you're a little timid and you're not sure. People need to hear that.
Yeah.
That gives others the confidence to know that they're not the only one. So maybe you haven't run a step yet. We still want to hear from you. We want to hear your story. Talk about your, I mean, we always say, I just talked to a lady the other night. There's so much more than running going on here.
That's right.
So we want to talk about it.
Amen. Well, this comes from Canadian Running. World Athletics to launch World Treadmill Championships in 2026. Qualifying will be open to everyone, giving runners the chance to compete against professional athletes in real time through an online leaderboard. So what this is there's one particular company, I guess, that does these, that has this one particular type of treadmill that's connected in different ways, and there's a bunch of them.
So would that be like Swift or...
It's not Swift. I thought
but it's something like that.
It's something like that. And so a lot of these a lot of fitness centers these days have these particular I think there's like over 100,000 of them places across the world that have these things. So they're prevalent. They're all over the place.
So I wonder if I it's been so many years since I've been in the wellness center. Does the wellness center have these type of treadmills?
I don't know. It's been so long since I've been in there.
We're so behind the times.
We are. But this is interesting. So I just can't imagine trying to run as hard as you can on a treadmill. But the idea is they're going to have five. These are going to be 5Ks. Hmm. So I'm sure they're going to start with 5Ks. And if that's really successful, maybe they move on to something else. But... and they'll have these rankings that are they're displayed instantly. So what I'm picturing and what I think this looks like is that you can just go to this fitness center that has these treadmills and say, I want to do one of these 5Ks, and you just kind of sign up and do it, I guess, at your leisure whenever you get ready for it. And then there's a $100,000 prize pool at the end of this thing. So there's some money in it. It sounds very interesting to me, although I don't know. Maybe I'd like to see how fast I could run a 5K. It's, you know, the thing that about this that is really kind of scary to me is if I'm trying to run as hard as I can on a treadmill, I have to determine the pace I'm running, right? So I have to turn the treadmill up or down to determine the pace that I'm running. What happens if I try to run too fast and I could see people falling off of treadmills.
Yeah.
In their effort to try to run faster, you know?
Yeah. I look back at, I was not smart. You know, when I would do, back when I was doing some more serious type training, if you can call it that. But when I would do track workouts and things like that, I remember we used to have a treadmill in our upstairs bonus room. Do you remember where our treadmill was? It was kind of the back, your back was a corner of the wall.
Yeah.
So if you fail... You're going to be getting turned over like, you know, sourdough, you know, in a mixer. But what I loved about the treadmill is it held your feet to the fire. So if I had on my plan for that day, I need to run, you know, 10 by 2 minutes at X pace.
Yeah.
Well, I would set it to that pace, and you have to run that or you're going to be in the wall behind you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, it was for me, everybody's different, but for me, a treadmill was a great accountability.
Yeah.
you know.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Because even like we've talked about the day that I mailed it in on a workout with you. You were there motivating me, but danger is a great motivator.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, I can reach up, but then I'm like, you know, I'm physically, I don't know. It was something different about it on a treadmill for me.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. Well, I didn't see this coming. I never thought about anything like this. 50,000, there's 50,000 of these facilities that have the ability to do this in 120 different countries. That's a lot. That's a lot.
I'm interested to know who that is that's doing that, because that's, because you know we've got so many of these nationwide fitness studios nowadays. I'm thinking of like Orange Theory and Eat the Frog. These are fitness studios that have treadmills. A lot of their stuff is based on treadmill work, circuit type stuff, but there's hundreds of them across the country.
Yeah.
And so it makes sense that all those could be connected. I wonder if it's one of those studios like that. It's
I would say that they're probably a part of this.
Yeah.
My question is, if I don't have a gym membership, I can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got to have a gym membership to be able to do it.
And lies what I just said.
Yeah.
It's a good way to get members.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to join.
Yeah.
Now, they may have some kind of an entry fee where you can go and you can use their treadmill, which I think is fair. That's completely fair. But it'll be interesting to see what happens. So 2026 is when this is going to kick off. So we'll see what happens. Well, this week's story is great. It was shared by Molly Wade, long-time upward running supporter. It's not really her story, but she's the one that shared this, and she definitely impacted this story. So this lady's name is Annette Call, and it's a crazy good story. So this is what Molly wrote.
So let me pause you just a second, Dean. First of all, let's tell a little bit more about who Molly is, because I want everybody to get a picture in their head, and then I'm going to put a picture of Annette up on the screen. If you're watching, we don't normally do that, but I think it's cool here.
Yeah.
But Molly, you know, I've always put her and Sue Evans up there as probably the two that have taught the most Run for God participants.
Yep.
Molly used to teach kids.
Yep.
I mean, she would send me videos of hundreds of kids running in circles in a gym doing the 5K challenge. She always had this neat thing that she did. She would always call me like in December to get insider information on what t-shirts were going to be available for the next year, because she always had a color for the upcoming year. So we would tell her what all t-shirts, and she would pick one and say it was purple.
And every year it would be a different color.
Every year it would be a different color, but say next year is purple. And everybody in her classes would buy the purple shirts. Well, Molly, she couldn't really wear a Run for God t-shirt in her job. So she would take, we did a story on this in a magazine we used to do, but she would buy a feather that was that color and wear it in her hair all the time. And so it was such a cool conversation starter for her. We always talk about the t-shirt being a conversation starter. Well, people would ask her, what's the deal with that feather in your hair? And she would be like, well, let me tell you.
Yeah.
And so just an incredible lady. We've had the chance to meet her a couple times, and I remember seeing pictures of Annette, primarily the one, I'm just going to go ahead and pull it up right now. So this is Annette, who the story is about. I remember seeing pictures of Annette back when Molly was doing a lot of classes, but I'll let you take it from here.
Yeah. All right. This is what she says, which the title of the story is Annette the Mighty Warrior, which is the title I gave it. A mighty warrior has gone home to rest. Annette was one of the Run for God greatest of all time runners. She shared her faith testimony in 2023, and by the grace of God, I kept it. I share it again here for anyone who needs a dose of encouragement to keep despondency at bay. Quote, my name is Annette Call. I live in Barrington, North New Hampshire, with my husband Rodney and our two daughters and son-in-law. In 2013, I participated in my first 5K supporting what was then St. Charles Children's Home. That started my drive to better myself physically. One day I came across an ad in our church bulletin that Run for God was starting up in January and that all were welcome. I thought this was what I needed to help me focus on a real training program. I don't remember what year that was, but I can tell you it was Team Green. I enjoyed every aspect about the program, the opening prayers, the videos, the devotional books, the small group discussions, the inspirational stories, and of course, the weekly prizes. For the most part, I kept to myself. I returned each week with plenty of tissues because the stories always left me thinking of how others are dealing with things far more difficult than my aches and pains, the cold weather that I had to run in, or that I had set an alarm so I could make the 9 a.m. Run for God meeting. I enjoyed it so much that I returned a few more years for teams purple, orange, gold, white, and light blue. In February 2021, Run for God had a virtual option. I signed up and joined via Zoom for that first half and then would meet the group for the training for the second half. I wanted to embrace the bitter cold on my cheeks. I wanted to watch the warm sun melt the icicles from the tree branches. I wanted to get outside with a group of like-minded people and enjoy what I knew would eventually become a memory. Underneath my warm layers, hat, gloves, and my running sneakers, I was a train wreck, struggling with a diagnosis of ALS received just 3 months prior. I was turning 53 and probably in the best physical shape since my teenage years. I was working out at the gym 4 to 5 times a week. I was running several 5Ks a year. To say I was shocked with an ALS diagnosis was an understatement. Unlike treating a mental health issue, an addiction, a broken bone, or cancer, there is no future appointment to discuss treatment options. Instead, in a gentle voice, you are given facts. There is no cure. The life expectancy is 2 to 5 years. There are 2 FDA-approved medications that might help with progression. We will see you in 3 months. Initially, I was angry, frustrated, sad, filled with anxiety, and thought of nothing other than everything I would miss in the future. Why me? What did I do to deserve this? I could have gone down a path of destruction. Instead, I held on to my faith with everything I had. I looked to God. I prayed more than I ever had and met with my priest for comfort. After a few months of processing what was to be my new life, I decided not to sit back and just let ALS destroy my life. I needed to raise awareness. Out of an abundance of love for me, Annette's Army was created by my friends and family. Together, we have raised over $15,000 to support those living with ALS, to raise awareness, and to support research. I continued to run, which slowly turned into just walking. As my ALS progressed, I was no longer comfortable participating in 5Ks in person. It was becoming extremely difficult to pin my bib to my shirt, to tie my shoes, and even pulling up my shorts was a tiring effort. I was determined, though, that ALS would not take this last Run for God race from me. Team Light Blue was my final Run for God race, but I can say that I did it all by myself. But we know who really gave me the strength to cross the finish line that day, proudly wearing my Run for God shirt. As Molly always says, I love that guy. I could give you a long list of things that I am no longer able to do. Some things are definitely hard. I know that without my faith, there would be more dark days than light. So, with Jesus, I will continue to live my best life. It just looks a little different than I originally planned. I would do anything to run again on earth. In honor of Annette, live your best life today. As for me, I'm headed out for a run for Annette.
Wow.
Man, what a great tribute from Molly. And what a great way to honor somebody who kept things together when it's really hard to keep things together. Oh, that's amazing.
I think the phrase that hits me the most, and it's where it hits you, is I would do anything to run again on earth. Man, how pathetic are we often about the things we complain about?
Yeah.
And yeah, all she wanted to do was to run.
Just to
and
be
so,
able to.
Man, that just puts things in perspective. I mean, I'll be honest, this morning when I was going through this week's podcast, I didn't get past this point.
Yeah.
So sorry if I didn't read your story later. But it just makes you sit back in your chair and yeah, I mean, put things in perspective is just an understatement. It really made me just sit back and think about what it is I'm doing every day. You know, when I go out there in the rain and I'm, you know, complaining about the rain and this and that, or complaining about anything, to read this, you realize just how blessed we are and how many things we take for granted. So, I mean, that's heavy, but it's what we all need.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Annette, the cool thing about that statement is she knew that she would be running today. I would do anything to run again on earth.
Yeah. 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 She's able to do as many runs as she wants now. And yeah, you know, if you're out there and you've thought about doing a Run for God class, these
now
stories.
Now upward running. Yeah.
Yeah.
And for those of some people may be confused by what's going on here.
That's true.
We are now upward running. But Upward Running started as a ministry called Run for God, which started back in 2010.
Yeah.
So if you're out there and you're hearing Run for God and you're like, what is that? That's what Upward Running used to be. And so we're just honoring that legacy of Annette here by using that phrase. But yeah, to your point.
But same program.
Yeah, same program. Same program. Exact program.
Yep. Everything is the same. And this is the impact that you can have.
Yeah.
This is the impact that Molly had, and you can multiply this times many others.
Sure.
There are many, many others that Molly has inspired or helped to inspire in ways that you can't put a price on the feeling that Molly has to have going through this and seeing what Annette became.
Well, and it's stories like this, Dean, where, you know, ministry's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, there have been many times through the years, Holly and I were just talking about it the other night, that, you know, she's always good about walking me back from a cliff. You know, through the years, there's been many times where I've said, this is it. You know, we can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And it's because so many times we want to see God working right here in front of us, and we get discouraged when he's not. But all the while, he's working 1,000 miles away or however far New Hampshire is from us. And we have to have the confidence in knowing that.
Yeah.
Because he was. This Molly and Annette's story up in New Hampshire had nothing to do with us.
Yeah.
But we got to play a part in it even still. And that's the cool thing about when you get discouraged, when you're trying to live a life for Christ and you feel like you're not making a difference. No, I'm so grateful that we hear this story here.
Yeah. But
if you're living a life of Christ and you're living a life to impact other people, you may not hear those stories on this side of glory, but you will. And we have to have that confidence in knowing that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the important thing, is that while all of this is going on, you're having those doubts. We're going through those tough times.
And mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really easy to get down when God's still working.
Yeah.
We got to realize God's always still working.
Sure.
2 Corinthians 4:16 says, outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. This hits home for me just because, you know, physically I am deteriorating.
Sure.
I just turned 60, and it's very clear that my body physically is going downhill. And it is what it is. Would I love to be able to feel as good as I did 10 years ago? Absolutely. But,
sure.
You know, it's what it is. And it doesn't bother me, per se. And I think the reason why it doesn't bother me is because I know what Christ is doing on the other side of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, my physical life may be deteriorating a little bit at a time each day, but my relationship with Christ is getting stronger every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And That's what's so great about this. And Annette, she got this.
Yeah.
She understood that, you know, she was not only deteriorating, she was doing it in a really rapid fashion, and yet she still looked at God and said, you know, I still want to be what you want me to be.
Yeah, and it, what was convicting for me is, and I'm not saying Annette did this, because I got on her Facebook page, and I was just scrolling through pictures this morning, but so many times it takes a diagnosis for us to have that switch flipped in our head. But we were given a death sentence the day we were born.
That's right.
And to quote the theologian Phil Robertson, ain't none of us are getting out of here alive.
Yeah.
We all have a death sentence. And so we need to live each day as if we have a... I don't know how to explain it. What happens? Because I know if I got a some kind of diagnosis today and I was given X amount of years to live, I would start living my life different.
Yeah.
I know that. I don't like to admit that, but I know that. Well, because of the fall of man, we all have a death sentence.
Yeah.
So why are we waiting for that diagnosis? Why? Why is that? And I can't answer that.
No, none of us can.
What Annette's story does is it convicts my heart to live that way today.
Yeah.
No matter, because I have that diagnosis.
Yeah.
It's called sin.
Yeah.
And I'm not making it out of here alive unless the Lord comes back before then.
Yep.
I don't know. It's one of those, this is one of those stories that really rocked my world this morning.
Yeah. It's a striking question that you pose. Psalms 73:26. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. No matter how weak we feel about anything, if we can lean on God, if we can do that, he can overcome whatever that thing is. I think what we all, no, we don't all, what a lot of people do is imagine if you were going to run a 100-mile race and you did no preparation for it and you just stepped to the starting line and thought, I'm going to cover 100 miles. How crazy would that be? It would be crazy. It would be a kind of a ridiculous thing to take on. However, that's what we're doing when we are not preparing for exactly what you're talking about. We all have the death sentence, and if we're not preparing for it, life is an endurance event. It is a ultra marathon, and we're going to the starting line. If we don't have Christ, we're going to the starting line without training, and it is not going to end well.
This is what gets me. I'm sitting here thinking, what happened to Annette is she faced her mortality. I know that because of the letter she wrote.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she was vividly facing it and writing and planning. And that's the strange thing about me is I'm such a planner.
Yeah.
But that's what God calls us to do. Be ready. Always be on the lookout.
Yep.
Because we don't know what day Christ will return. She simply faced it. And she had the same sentence that I have.
Yep.
She just got to Jesus a little quicker than I did.
Yep.
Man, I don't, I'm speechless. I really am. Yeah. I want to start, because it sounds so morbid in one way. I want to start planning for when I'm not here. That sounds morbid, but that's exactly what God tells us to do.
It is.
But we don't do it. It's like we put blinders on and we're like, I'm not going to think about that. We should think about that. Every day we should think about that.
We should. And further, we should realize that the place where we're going is an amazing place.
Yeah.
The greatest thing that you'll ever experience. And we need to take others with us.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing is why, how have we gotten to a place where this is a heavy conversation?
Yeah.
It should be a great conversation. Mm. Annette is doing way better than you or I or anybody listening to this podcast is doing right now. Way right. better.
Yep.
She's doing the best that you can possibly do.
Yeah.
She's there. She made it.
Yeah.
She heard those words. Well done.
Yeah.
As she ran, as she lived out Hebrews 12:1.
Yep. Isaiah 43:18-19. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Man, I love these verses. I just absolutely love these verses. If God can make rivers in the desert, what can't he do? You know, and I wrote down hashtag nothing. There's, you know, he can do it all. And the truth is that all of us at some point in our lives are out in the wilderness. And what God is saying is that, I mean, think about this. Picture this in your head. What God is saying is that if you're out in the wilderness, if you're lost, if you don't know where to turn, if you don't know what tomorrow holds and you're so worried about it, God is saying if you'll turn to him, it's not like you're going to have to find the way out. He's going to put a road in front of you that you can follow to where you need to be. Mm-hmm. And it's such a powerful thought to think about God saying, look, I know you feel unsure, but here, let me give you this super highway. You get on this super highway and you just follow it to the end and be obedient and everything's going to be fine. And that's what Annette was doing. Mm-hmm. Annette found that highway. She got on it and it took her pretty quickly to a place that we all hope to get to. And
So imagine you're going to, I don't know, Seattle from here. And you can do one of two things. You can pull out your GPS and you can type in Seattle and you can hit go. There's still a journey out in front of you.
Right.
Still 3,000 miles or whatever it is from here to Seattle. But you got the end in sight always. So let's contrast that to, this is all coming as I'm saying this, so sorry if I sound broken. Let's say you're going to Seattle and you don't want to think about Seattle, but that's where you're headed. And so you put in, we're going to go to Fort Worth, Texas. And then I'm going to, I'm trying to think of my geography. I'm going to go to Montana. And then I'm going to go to here. And then I'm going to go to here. Not because you want to see those other areas, but because you don't want to think about Seattle. But you know that's where you're headed. So you put in all these other places to get to there. That's kind of what we do in our life.
Yeah.
I mean, it's because, and think about how stressful that is. Think about the worry, and I go to scripture, and how many times, 365 or so, is the scripture say, do not fear. Put Jesus, replace Seattle with Jesus.
Yeah.
Make that you're headed there. It's a straight line. It's a highway that I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. These are all metaphors for, I think what he's saying to me right now is we need to think about the end more.
Yeah.
But we don't want to think about the end because that seems morbid. So we're going to think about all these other things and create all the stress in our life and all this stuff that we shouldn't be thinking about. Think about that. Put that in your waypoint and make it a straight line. Does that mean you're going to get there faster? I think that's something we all think about. It's kind of like people don't do a wheel because they're afraid they're going to die earlier. It doesn't, just because you're thinking about heaven every morning when you wake up doesn't mean you're going to get there faster.
Yeah.
Even though that shouldn't bother us.
Right. That should actually be an exciting prospect.
But we make it, I don't know what I'm trying to say. I know I'm all over the board here, but what this study, what this podcast is kind of reflecting in my mind is we need to think about where Annette is more. We need to think about where our Savior is more. Mm. Not to get there faster, but to have a plan to get there so that we can pick people up along the way to get there. You know, we're much more effective when we have a plan, right? We know that from everything else we do in life.
That's right.
So have a plan. Who am I going to take with me?
Yeah.
And some of these people I'm going to have to talk into going with me.
Yeah.
But if we have that plan, God, I'll help you. I'm saying in air quotes, talk those people in. He don't need us to talk anybody into anything, but we will be more intentional about the journey if the journey has one endpoint.
Yeah, that's a great thought. How do we continue to pursue God when everything is falling apart around us? That's the million-dollar question, I think. It takes incredible strength to do what Annette did here, to not give up on your life when you know the inevitable end is, like she said, 2 to 5 years away. And it turned out that was an accurate number for her. But then again, that's what you do when you believe what the Bible says. If you believe what the Bible tells us, I mean, truly believe what the Bible tells us, then we know what to do. We know where to put our trust. We know where to find the direction for our lives, even when we can't run anymore or whatever that thing is that you can't do anymore that you once could do. In my case, I would love to run a 430 mile again. I'm 60. 60-year-olds don't run 430 miles no matter how good they are. Mm-hmm. And it's not a possibility. So where am I going to focus my attention? Am I going to focus it on, to your point, am I going to get distracted by, oh man, I wish I could run as fast as I once could? Mm-hmm. Or am I going to focus on, you know what? There's a Savior and there's a place where I'm headed that is glorious. And I am so excited to get there that I want to talk to everybody I can find and say, I need you to come with me. This is going to be great. Right?
Yeah, and the exciting thing about that is then if that is your waypoint, if heaven is your ultimate GPS point, you're not adding stops along the way. Then you can figure out, how do I use the things that I love here on earth to accomplish that? So that's where the magic of how can I use running to not only get me there, but to get other people there with me? How can I use, you know, a dinner party or whatever it is?
Yep.
This is the point where everything you do becomes a ministry. Mm-hmm. Your job. People say, I want to be in ministry. Do you have a job? Then you've got a ministry.
Yeah.
But we don't look at it like that. My answer to the question, how do we pursue God when everything else is falling apart around me? To me, in my life, that's the easiest time to find God.
That's a good point.
To be close to God. I mean, I think about the message that I heard a guy preach one time who was in a valley, and he said, God, get me out of this. And he clearly heard God say, why would I do that? We're closer now than we've ever been. And I'm convinced that God allows these things in our lives to draw us closer to Him, to trust in Him more, because so many times on the mountaintop, ironically enough, that's when we get the furthest away from God. I know in my life that's been the case for sure.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. What if you were given a terminal diagnosis? Would you continue to do all you can, or would you give up and rest? And it, you know, we have a choice. Annette had a choice, and she indicates the choice in her testimony here, that she was faced with the choice of, do I give up or do I do something special? She chose to follow God and do something special. And that's typically what happens to us when we find ourselves in a position like Annette was in. We either, like you said, that's the easiest time to run towards God. So we do that. Or that's the time we run as far away from God as we can get. And that's that is a dangerous, dangerous thing. And that is exactly what Satan's looking for us to do, is he's trying to get us to run away from those things. And I think that I would like to think that if I was given a terminal diagnosis, that I would kind of do what Annette did in some way. I would double down on going hard and pursuing Jesus way more than I ever did before. And I feel like there's a groundwork in my life that would point me in that direction. And that's what's really important, is before you get to this point where you have this choice to make of pursuing or running away from, there has to be, doesn't have to be, the better your foundation is before you get to that inflection point in your life, the more likely you are to pursue the better road. Does that make sense?
It does, but I feel like God gets the glory or the credit or whatever you want to say there more often than the evil one in times of crisis. I really feel, I'm thinking about something I saw on the news. I say on the news, on social media last night. And it was a public figure that is completely anti everything we stand for. Completely. Everybody would know the name, and I'm not going to say the name. But she has found herself in a time of crisis, and she has publicly went out and asked for prayer.
Mm.
That is not words you would think about coming out of this person's mouth. But yeah. I think we all have that core in us that knows. It's like it's just an instinctive thing at that point. And that is where God is so incredible that His light is in every one of us.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit may not be in there moving and working, and I'm probably getting things wrong theologically here. But I know I'm not wrong because of what I heard that person say.
Yeah.
The only reason for that is that person is seeking, and she understands that there's something there, even though her words for the past 10 years have not reflected that.
Yeah.
So I think crisis is one of the most effective things that God uses.
Well, and I think that when we get in crisis, we all have that calling. I agree with you. There's this internal thing. God is in us. When this internal thing happens, He's convicting us of the direction we need to go. But the question is, are you going to heed that call and head in that direction? Or is it going to scare you and you head in the opposite direction because it scares you? Because for some people, it would scare them. I do agree, though, that can happen on both ways for both. I've seen very, very good Christian people who lived a pretty good life get in a situation like this and get angry with God.
Yeah.
I've also seen, like you're talking about, a person who maybe they never lived a life for Christ, and then something happens and they go, whoa, this is, and then they head toward Christ. It happens both directions, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think God can. I just look at 9/11. Yeah. I mean, how united, and or Charlie Kirk. I mean, I think crisis
brings people.
I hope crisis brings people together, and it, you know, all things work together for those who love God.
Yeah.
And that includes the people who may not love God right now, but this thing is going to bring them into the fold.
Yeah.
And that's my hope.
Yeah, and I think the important thing to realize is when you get in a situation like Annette's, you gain a platform that is really, really heavy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a heck of a responsibility given to us when we get that platform. Man, she used it so beautifully. Mm-hmm. Gosh, she used it so great. And if we ever find ourselves in that boat, and I pray that we all go in the right direction. There's somebody that I can think of that I know that's, I've seen somebody they've kind of gone off the deep end, and they're good Christians, but the platform that they have is just pointing people in a terrible direction. And we got to be careful when we have that platform to use it for good, for the right reason. Last question. We are all going to die, so we have a physically terminal diagnosis. Does or should that change the way we live? I guess we've already talked about this one. You brought this
up. It does and it shouldn't.
Yeah. You know the quote, I don't run to add years to my life. I run to add life to my years. Mm-hmm. That's such a great quote from a physical standpoint. We can feel it, but from an emotional and from a spiritual standpoint, it makes a lot of sense as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we need to work on. So what if everybody in the world all of a sudden had this feeling like Annette and everybody tried to add more life to their years rather than years to their life? How would the world change? Hmm. Oh my goodness, what a difference it would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And if you don't know, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we wish you'd go to upwardrunning.com/ peace with God and watch those four videos. And and when you go out to run today, run for Annette.
Yeah. Annette, if you can hear us, run a 5K for us today on those streets of gold.
Amen. It can be terribly hard to stay on track as a runner or a walker. The world also makes it difficult to stay on track spiritually, too. For pennies a day, Upward Running can make both of these journeys more fun and much easier. Join Upward Running today and get access to training plans, videos, and the best group of active Christians you will find anywhere. Go to upwardrunning.com and sign up today. All right, we're back. And I got this from Smithsonian Magazine. It's entitled Super Agers Share Common Traits That Give Them Greater Cognitive Resilience. Seems like a long title. Some 80-year-olds can recall names, events, and details with the clarity of someone 30 years younger. Scientists have a name for them, super agers. And in recent research is shedding light on what makes these exceptional individuals stand out. So Northwestern University did this research on these folks to see what is it that sets them apart. But, you know, they did MRIs and all sorts of different things to find out what's different about these people who seem, their brain seems to work a lot better as they get older than maybe the average person. And so here's some of the things they said. Well, we realized there are two mechanisms that lead someone to become a super ager. One is resistance. They don't make the plaques and tangles. And two is resilience. They make them, but they don't do anything to their brains. Super agers never stop challenging their brains. Whether it's reading deeply, learning new skills, or tackling mentally demanding hobbies, they seem to have an unshakable curiosity about the world, which makes sense, right? Another striking trait is emotional strength. They often score high on measures of resilience and life satisfaction. They tend to bounce back from adversity more readily and maintain a hopeful outlook. We've talked about it. It says this isn't mere optimism. It's a mindset rooted in adaptability and gratitude. Chronic stress has long been linked to memory decline and cognitive issues, while emotional balance can have the opposite effect. People who cultivate calmness through faith, purpose, or social connection seem to protect their brains over time. And it says, the science of longevity repeatedly shows that social connection is one of the most powerful predictors of healthy aging. It also says, studies show that many super agers also follow healthy physical routines. And then finally, it says, perhaps the most inspiring characteristic of superagers is their sense of purpose. They set goals, they nurture relationships, and they pursue passions that give their days meaning. This sure sounds a lot like the stuff we talk about all the time. Running, walking, any kind of exercise, any kind of training plan is really good for our cognitive health. In addition to all the other things we talk about from a spiritual standpoint that stimulates your brain, that makes you do and say things that are important for your well-being. And it used to be, I remember when I was young, it used to be when people retired, they just became inactive. Mm-hmm. People retired and then they just kind of sat on the front porch. And that's where that whole picture comes from. Mm-hmm. But that's not what we do today. Most people, when they retire, they go out and they do something active and they continue to stimulate their brain in some way. And that's so important. And they're called super agers because these people, they really, what they're doing is they just refuse to fade into the background and they continue to live their life. And I think the Bible's clear. Mm-hmm. The Bible clearly tells us that God still has something for us no matter our age.
Retirement's not in the Bible.
That's right.
It kind of reminds me of the Blue Zone documentary that I watched. But I think what I'm reading here is what we've always said, and it's what the Blue Zones talk about. It's do hard things. Stay away from bags and boxes. Entrench yourself deeply into a community. And you'll live longer.
Yeah.
Because the community then gives you a sense of purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're doing things, when you're part of a community, then you're accountable to that community, which gives you purpose. But yeah, I mean, I've said many times, I'll never retire. I may do something different. But I'll, you know, I had this dream of being a Lowe's. I think I've said that on here. A Lowe's greeter. Something in me wants to work at Lowe's before I die. But yeah, this is just another study of backing up the things that I think intuitively we all know to be true.
Yeah.
We all, because these are things we yearn for, right? Mm-hmm. You know, think about New Year's resolutions. You know, it's not to become overweight. it's to lose some weight. It's to find a tribe. It's not to, I want to separate myself from everybody I know. All of these things are just, they're written into who we are.
Yeah.
And I think all of these studies, the Blue Zones, this study, it's all just revealing what is our nature.
Yeah.
And kind of getting back to the simplicity of who we are is most often the right answer.
Yeah.
But have you seen the Blue Zones documentary?
I have.
Okay. Yeah.
I do think that it does take a little bit of intentionality to do those things.
Because the world goes opposite.
Yes, yes.
The world takes us opposite all these things.
That's right, that's right. So one of the things, I like to be creative. Mm-hmm. I enjoy making things with my hands and creating things. And it's why one of the reasons I like to write is it's a creative process. And I think that really keeps my brain stimulated mm-hmm. in a way that I think is really productive and really good and helps me to stay flexible in my head. And I like to think that's going to be something that helps me throughout my life.
Sure.
All right. It's time for Dean's Thoughts. And that's a time when I share something I've written about the intersection between running and faith. We've all heard someone say, just be yourself. And most of the time it's not meant in any profound way, but I don't think that's good advice. And let me explain. This is called Don't Just Be Yourself. Just be yourself. We've all heard someone share that phrase, and while it may come from a place of kindness, it's worth pausing to consider its meaning. Or maybe you've heard Oscar Wilde's famous quip, be yourself, everyone else is already taken. But do we really want to simply remain as we are, or is there something in us that longs to become something better? Just be yourself is fine, but I prefer the idea, be a better version of yourself. That's one of the reasons many of us set out on a fitness journey. Deep inside, we sense the call to growth and transformation. We pursue a firmer, fitter, stronger body, not just for appearances, but because it represents striving to strengthen, lengthen, or renew our lives. Each run at dawn, every lunchtime workout, all our efforts are part of a longing not only for physical improvement, but for a more disciplined, resilient, and fulfilled self. We don't want to stay where we are. We want to keep growing. Imagine if physical fitness came as easily as wishing for it, with no cost or effort required. We'd all sign up instantly. But just as a brand new car won't magically appear in your driveway for free, true transformation, whether physical or spiritual, demands commitment and intention. So we have to ask, what would we be willing to pay for better, healthier, stronger lives? Consider this. Would you pay $200 a month? How about $100? In reality, the cost is far less. Physical activity like running or walking essentially costs nothing but your time and a willingness to move. If we set aside the shoes, the gadgets, and fancy gear, the pathway to better health is available at a price we can all afford. Free 90 free. It's the gift that is easy to overlook. So why do we sometimes struggle to accept this free gift of better health or fail to take the daily steps available to us? That's a serious question worth pondering. If someone offered us a free trip to Acapulco, we'd probably all jump at the opportunity. So why not leap at the chance to become our best physical selves? After all, being more fit is far more valuable. This leads us to an even greater truth. The spiritual life works in a remarkably similar way. The Bible teaches that the greatest transformation of all, a restored and renewed relationship with God, is also freely available to us because of the price Jesus paid on the cross. He bore the weight of all our shortcomings, offering us forgiveness and eternal life, not because of anything we can do, but by His grace. All that's asked of us is to accept this gift with open hands. We don't have to earn it. We aren't required to sweat for salvation. Christ already did the ultimate work on our behalf. Just as we pursue better health, let us not neglect the care for our souls. Embrace the free gift of God's love and grace, and in doing so, discover what it truly means to become the person you were meant to be, physically and spiritually. That's the better version God wants us to be.
It's a great story, Dean.
Yeah, it's the idea of just be yourself. And I realize when people say that, a lot of times it's well-meaning. Mm-hmm. But we don't want to just be ourselves. Mm-hmm. We want to be more than ourselves. And running and walking, again, as I point out in here, it's pretty much free. You can do all these things basically for free. Mm-hmm. And we just don't have a good excuse. And how crazy is it? It's a lot like what we were talking about just a little while ago about end of life.
Right.
We all know we have a death sentence, and yet we don't do anything different. We all know that physical fitness is going to make us feel better, and yet we don't do it.
Yeah.
Human beings are just crazy.
It's been going on ever since the days of Paul. He said, what is it? He said, I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things I want to do. This is an age-old struggle.
Yeah. You know what amazes me even more, too, when you think about the physical fitness side of things, is that so many people will spend so much money on things like, and if you're out there and you're spending a lot of money on this stuff, I'm not throwing stones, mm-hmm. but because everybody has their thing, I've got things I spend money on that would seem a waste to some people. But, you know, a $300 hairstyle, spending hundreds.
You're going to get hate mail, Dean.
Hundreds of dollars, you know, every month for clothing or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of things. People that get plastic surgery. We do a lot of things. We spend a lot of money to make ourselves appear a certain way.
Right.
And yet the thing that will change us the most, physical fitness, we tend to discount that. And it's free.
Yeah.
We'd rather pay a bunch of money to put up this thing that is, it's not a false image, maybe going too strong, but you know what I mean. And yet the thing that is cheap and free, we neglect.
Sure.
That doesn't make a lot of sense.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So just be yourself may be one of the most destructive things our culture espouses. For a couple of reasons. Number one, our just be ourselves, our normal self is a sinful self. Mm-hmm. And then number two, this phrase has led us to accepting all manner of sin that is not okay. And yet we talk about it as if it is okay. And we talk about it as if you think this particular thing that is a sin, very clearly in the Bible, if you talk about it at all in any kind of negative way, well, then you're, I don't know, you're bigoted, or you know, there's some kind of problem with you when you stand up for biblical principles. And that's where just being ourselves leads us to. And God's got to be in the equation. And if God's in the equation, we're not just being ourselves.
Be different. Yeah. I mean, be weird. Be whatever you want to call it. Be that. Don't be normal. Because like you said, normal is the world. And we're called clearly in Scripture not to conform to this world.
Yep.
But be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
That's right. Amen. There is no better way to start the day than in the Word. Our Bible in a Year challenge is a great way to start the day in the Word as I read through the entire Bible in 365 episodes. I also share helpful tips each day along with encouraging quotes. Choose the self-paced challenge so that you can go at your pace. You must be an Upward Running member for access to this exciting challenge. So if you're not a member, sign up today and get started. If you are a member, it is just a click away to get started today. Every week, I share a reason why running and or walking is so awesome. And this week, we just talked about how well it helps with aging. And I think that's a great thing about, an awesome thing about running and or walking. We're just talking about the whole mental stimulation and how it helps the brain, but obviously it helps us physically as well. Heart disease is the leading killer for older people. And we know that any kind of aerobic exercise helps us. It doesn't eliminate that happening, but it certainly decreases the probabilities of that happening. And so, yeah, I think that just the fact that it helps us with aging is a great reason to get out there and pound the pavement.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it can take the place of so many pharmaceuticals that we give ourselves over the long haul. And again, it's free.
Yeah. Well, I found this article. This is weird, but that's why I want to share it.
Wouldn't expect anything less, Dean.
That's right. The Japanese U-turn. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Okay. So there's this thing they call the Japanese
U-turn. I've heard of the Irish exit. I do that quite often.
I saw some examples of this. And apparently, this is really popular in Japan. And the races that I saw people doing it in, they were in Japan. And you know, when you get into a race and you have like a 180-degree turn, it's a little uncomfortable to make the 180-degree turn. You got to kind of slow down.
I do this.
Do you really?
I do that. I did it yesterday. I'll say what I'm going to say after you go through this.
Okay. Well, this is the way that Canadian running describe the way that you do it. Number one, rotate your body away from the turn. So as you're going to the turn, rotate your body away from the turn. If you're turning right, you rotate left, for example. Then you take two steps to kind of complete the turn. Step with your inside foot while you're turning your body to the outside. Then step backward with your other foot to catch yourself. You should now be facing 180 degrees from your original direction. And then three, push off your back leg to accelerate into your new direction. Off you go, energy conserved and ankles intact.
So let me explain.
Yeah.
The reason this makes sense. So, and it only makes sense on 180 degree turns.
Right. Exactly.
But when I ruck, so I have 65 pounds on my back when I ruck. And when I'm on the road, especially, because I want to make a tight turn when I'm on the road, because I want to be able to see if it's hard to look over your shoulder with a rucksack on.
Yeah.
So I want to be able to see what's coming without getting out into the road. So I would do this. And the reason it's so effective, and you see it more when you have weight on your back, because if you try to do a 180 turn like a normal turn, 65 pounds on your back will throw you off balance.
Yeah.
But when you do this Japanese U-turn, which I never knew it had a name, you're able to maintain your balance. So anytime I'm rucking and I do a 180, I do this Japanese U-turn because it's safer.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine it's safer without a rucksack on. You just don't feel it as much. But
That makes sense.
I mean, I have literally rode that thing to the ground before because I get off balance because it's so easy to do. And a 180 turn is the time when that can most likely happen. And this is a counter to that.
Yeah, so, that.
I'm part Japanese, I guess.
Yeah, I guess
I've been doing this and didn't even know what it was called.
You got it figured out, man. Shoot. Well, I haven't tried it yet, but I need to try it. See how it does. When you watch it, it looks weird. But then when you see it, you think, you know what, that does. Because running a 180-degree turn on your feet and your legs just really doesn't feel good. It's not normal. And so I could see this being a big deal. Our trivia question for this week. Almost every runner has a GPS watch these days. What was the first GPS running watch and when did it come out? You ever thought about that?
Hmm.
And if you know the answer to that, you can send it to dean@upward.org. And if you're the first person to send me the correct answer, you will win $20 off in the store.
I feel like I know, but I'm probably wrong because it was probably earlier than I'm thinking. I was just behind the curve to get one. Even though back then, I don't feel like I was behind the curve anything technology-wise.
Yeah.
Now I'm way behind the curve.
I think you're probably thinking right.
Yeah,
I think you're accurate.
Because I remember the day I stopped marking the road,
yeah,
with spray paint,
yeah,
because you know me, it had to be exactly a mile.
That's right.
And so I would drive it and mark it on the road.
Yeah. Good stuff. Our motivational thought of the week comes from that famous author, Unknown. He said, some runners follow their dreams, others hunt them down and beat them mercilessly into submission.
I like that.
I love that. That's the way I like to pursue a goal,
sure.
Right? Just don't just aim for it. Just make it everything that you've got to reach that goal. And that's part of why hitting a goal is so special, because of the journey that you take to get there. And the more intense that journey, the better feeling it is when you hit that goal,
for sure.
So, yeah, that's pretty cool. Make your journey interesting, and then hitting your goal will be more satisfying.
Yeah.
The way I put it.
Hey, go out there and do a run for a net today.
Amen.
Think about that story on your run today or tomorrow, whenever you go out next. And put it all in perspective.
Yeah, and ask yourself, what would you do different if you knew that you had a limited time?
Because we do.
We do. That's right. And until next week, may God bless every step of every run and or walk. Go out there and shine your light.
Good job, Dean.
For more information about Upward Running, visit upwardrunning.com. If you have questions about your salvation, click on the Peace with God tab. There is nothing more important. Thanks for joining us today.